Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Today is Saturday, September 18th, and we're talking all about college degrees. From how valuable they are or aren't in today's job market for both workers and employers, to the impact of the pandemic on students' ability to get a degree in the first place. You'll hear from Christy Baker-Smith, the executive director of the Hope Center at Temple University. The center works to make college more accessible and impactful for anyone who wants to attend. But first, Brian Kropp is back on the show. He's the chief of research for the Gartner HR practice. Gartner is the world's leading research and advisory company. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Hi, Brian. Thanks for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So first, let me just ask, what's your take on the value of a college degree in today's world?
There's certainly a lot of value in having that college degree, but when it comes to employment and job opportunities, in some ways it's becoming less valuable because of how competitive the labor market has become. As you look up and down the labor market from not just hourly employees or retail employees, but salaried up and down the continuum, what companies are finding is that there's not enough people for all the jobs that they want to hire for. So one, they're relaxing a lot of the historical constraints that they've had on the jobs that they're hiring for. And that includes things like previous experience, educational certifications, and different degrees that people have had. So a lot of companies, in particular across the last 2 or 3 years, have been relaxing many of those constraints. The other thing that's going on is that for people that might have some of those degrees or experiences or whatever it might be, they're also able to ask for more money in the labor market. So the other reason why companies are expanding their horizon of who to hire is that for people without college degrees, they're able to find that job and they're willing to extend an offer to them, but perhaps at a slightly lower compensation level than people who do have that college degree.
And the other thing that we're seeing during the pandemic is a surge in the number of people enrolling in even just online certification programs.
There's been a huge increase in that. When you look at the variety of different organizations that provide online learning and online certifications, it's been a huge growth market for all sorts of reasons. And that there's a couple of things that are really interesting coming out of that. One, managers and recruiters are becoming increasingly accepting of that as an alternative to a college degree or in addition to what a college degree brings to the table from that perspective. And one of the reasons why that's the case is that hiring managers and recruiters have realized the rate at which skills in demand are changing means that what you might have learned in college 10 years ago is less valuable than what you might have learned in the last 12 months through some sort of certification program. So the fact that those online programs, the online certification programs, the online trainings can move faster than a traditional college degree has actually made them a lot more attractive for employers, for people that have gotten those sorts of certifications.
You mentioned in the last few years, some companies have already, even before the pandemic, were already starting to come around to hiring people without a college degree. We saw major companies like Apple, Google, and Netflix not always requiring employees to have college degrees. Do you expect more and more companies to go down this route?
What we've seen across the last couple of years, about 40% of companies have relaxed constraints on educational requirements that they're looking for. Once those constraints have been relaxed and they brought those employees in, what they found is that the quality of hire and the performance of those employees has not been any different on average from employees that have those college degrees. So now that there's a significant percent of employers in the labor market market that have relaxed it on at least some of their jobs, and we've had enough time to prove out that employees without college degrees can be just as high performing as those with, the expectation is that more companies will start to do this. So it's going to spread. It's just a question of how quickly and how much.
It reminds me a little bit about remote work being tested during the pandemic and then people realizing, hey, maybe this is good for long term.
So what we're really seeing is this fundamental mindset shift in terms of the approach that large employers are taking to their workforces, which is, what is the person able to accomplish? I might not see it. I might not know it. They might not have the background that I'm used to. They might not have had the previous career experiences that I'm used to. But the combination of all these factors is shifting a lot more from what does your resume say about you to what can you actually accomplish and what are the outputs that you produce on the job. And that's a fundamentally good thing for employees and for employers at the end of the day.
Harvard recently did a study that found 75% of U.S. companies use automated systems to filter out resumes. Nearly 90% of executives surveyed admitted that the AI software weeds out what could be qualified candidates. So what's your take on these automated systems?
Outside of jobs that have very specific task-based measurement, the likelihood that they produce good results or better results than having a recruiter look at the information on the resumes there is actually quite low. The advantage of these systems for a large employer is just to deal with the volume. Because if you need to hire, let's say, 100 people, as long as you get those 100 people out of 1,000 resumes or out of 10,000 resumes, it doesn't really matter. One of the other things that we're seeing within these systems is that as they become more sophisticated and more AI is embedded with them, what they're going to start to find is characteristics of employees that aren't the traditional characteristics that we've looked at. So education, previous experience, those types of things. And the AI will start to reveal other characteristics about employees that are in fact high performers.
Some people are worried that these systems discriminate.
And they should be. Because there's a lot of evidence that shows that these systems simply replicate a lot of the biases that already exist within our recruiters or managers that play out in terms of the decisions that they're making. Even if we try to correct for those or understand those, one of the challenges with a lot of these systems is that you can't replicate the decisions that they're making or the information that's coming out of it. So if there are other biases that are emerging that we can't see or observe based upon zip code where people live or some other innate characteristic about them, we're not going to realize that we're creating bias in our hiring process until several years have gone by and we've actually hired a lot of people and then can see those biases actually play out. And at that point, in all honesty, it's probably too late because we've already created damage to our labor force from that perspective. But that will be one of the most important issues that organizations will have to address and work through as they rely on more technology to engage in more talent management decisions.
What's your advice to workers when it comes to how closely someone should be matching their qualifications with the qualifications listed on a job posting?
The best advice that we've got, given the situation of the labor market right now, is to overshoot the target. If there's anything that you're close to being qualified for, if you meet 2 out of the 4 criteria, 3 out of the 5, whatever it is, and you've got an interest in actually doing that sort of work, it's worth it to apply.
And what about those deciding whether or not to go to college and get a degree?
If your desire is just thinking about the labor market for the short run, then there's lots of reasons to question, is going to college the right answer for you? However, college provides a lot of other benefits in terms of social experiences, lifelong connection with a learning institution, with the friends and colleagues that you get from there. While that is still true now and has always been true, the difference is that it's no longer the same differentiator that it was on the labor market. The employment benefits are still there, simply not as strong as they were in the past. And there's multiple other paths to get there.
Well, coming up, we'll talk about how many college students are struggling to balance school while making sure they can still keep a roof over their heads and what's available to help. Our conversation with Christy Baker-Smith is just ahead. But first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Policy Genius. As you prep for back-to-school season, slide securing life insurance onto that to-do list. As Policy Genius points out, most people need 10 times the life insurance coverage than they get through their employer in order to properly provide for their families. But how do you know when you're getting the best deal? Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from more than a dozen top insurers. In fact, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. And you could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. Now, if you haven't heard of it, Policy Genius is America's leading online insurance marketplace with a mission to help people get insurance right. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you and not the insurance companies. Also, Policy Genius never sells your info to other companies and it does not add on extra fees.
So check it out. Head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. That's policygenius.com. This episode is also brought to you by BetterHelp.
If you have that nagging feeling that something is off or that something is stopping you from being your happiest self, please know you're not alone and it doesn't have to be that way. Whether it's the pandemic, work stress, family conflict, trauma, or anything else that's interfering with your life, BetterHelp can assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. They have counselors who are specialized in a wide variety of areas, and everything you tell them stays completely confidential. You always connect in a safe and private online environment. And it's convenient and easy. You can send a message to your counselor anytime from the comfort of your own home. Plus, schedule weekly video or phone sessions if you want. It's also more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a Newsworthy listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Join more than a million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Okay, now to my conversation with Christy Baker Smith. Hi, Christy. Thanks for coming on the Newsworthy.
Hi, Erica. Thanks for having me.
So first, are you seeing a lot of students drop out of college right now or maybe even decide not to enroll in the first place?
Yeah. So I think the first thing we want to clarify is that there's not just not enrolling and dropout. There's also a thing called stopping out, where students are maybe a year and a half into school, and at a certain point, they can't afford it anymore. And so they stop out. And it doesn't mean they have decided that college is no longer what they want to do. It means that they can't pursue it right now, given their finances. And so we call that stopping out. And I think we are seeing a lot of lack of enrollment, dropping out, and stopping out right now. And in fact, last fall saw one of the lowest enrollment rates we've seen in decades. And it was particularly high for community college students.
Yeah, so let's talk about that more. I mean, we know even before the pandemic, a lot of college students struggled to pay their bills and get their schoolwork done at the same time, right? So can you outline how COVID-19, the pandemic, has impacted them specifically?
Just like the rest of the country, students are struggling with the difficulties, the personal difficulties that come from COVID. And we are also seeing the racial disparities that exist in other places show up with COVID and how COVID impacts our students. One of the other things that we see from COVID and its impact on our students is the loss of employment. More than half of students work, and a large proportion of those students work either full-time or multiple jobs. And that has been the case for decades. And yet, what we also see is that students during COVID, many, many reported losing their work, losing their jobs, having their hours reduced. And so that in particular is likely impacting their ability to afford continuing to be enrolled in college right now.
So let's talk specifically about enrollment. Data has shown enrollment in undergraduate programs has already been trending downward for a while now. And as we've talked about, it's probably gone down even more in the last year. Do you see that trend changing anytime soon?
That's a really good question. I think the value of an education is certainly something that most Americans believe in. However, its affordability is not realistic right now. That happens for a variety of reasons. We know that costs are rising. Again, COVID has impacted that. For basic living expenses, whether you're talking about housing or you're talking about food or you're talking about childcare and dependent care or healthcare. Those things have gotten more and more expensive, and support for college has become less effective because those things are getting more expensive and because colleges have less support for their students, particularly public institutions who are no longer funded at the rate they were funded 30 years ago.
Even as tuition seems to be going up.
Correct. Well, the colleges are struggling to meet their own costs, which is understandable, but they are also not being supported at the same rates by the federal government and the state governments as they were in the past.
So what programs are available for college kids to take advantage of, whether that's unemployment, food stamps, financial aid, that sort of thing?
There are a number of public benefits that are available to every person who is a citizen of this country, and sometimes more than that. And we're talking about things like food stamps or SNAP. In California, they call it CalFresh. There's housing supports. There are public benefits around healthcare and dependent care. And we strongly encourage colleges to encourage their students to look for those supports because many times they will be eligible. Additionally, there are other things that are happening at colleges. One of the most exciting things that we've seen really take off over the last couple of years is emergency aid. The stories I like to tell here is imagine that you are a parenting student. You're a student, you've got a two-year-old, and you're working a part-time job and you get a flat tire. That flat tire impacts everything in your life. And if you're living paycheck to paycheck, if you're just barely making ends meet, and imagine that happens right when you're supposed to pay your tuition bill, it's likely you're not going to enroll that term because you just don't have that extra $200 because you had to spend it on a flat tire. If you were able to apply for an emergency grant that's pretty cheap, a couple $100 to get your tire fixed, you can get yourself to work, you can get yourself to class, and you can get your child to childcare. So emergency aid, which is what it's called nationally, has really taken root among higher ed institutions and is turning out to be a really impactful strategy. The other amazing thing about this is the CARES Act has more than $6 billion in emergency aid going to higher ed institutions to support students.
Do you think it's true, though, that more people are questioning the need for a college degree now than in the past? And what's your opinion about the value of a college degree?
We actually just did a really neat survey in Philadelphia. It's coming out in a couple of months. And we asked Philadelphians who had started but not completed college, so they're what we call the stopouts, what they thought of college. The majority said they didn't feel like they could afford it right now, but that they still thought it was important and that they would recommend to their friends or family that they should get a degree. So the value of college is not going anywhere. It continues to be a value that everybody holds. The question is, how do we help those who so desire a degree and are doing everything they can to get one actually get to that finish line?
Thanks to our guests for sharing their insights today, and thank you for listening. Remember to check us out Monday through Friday as well, when we keep you updated on the day's news in just about 10 minutes. We'll be back on Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great weekend.